presentation will be by Dale Gentry, who is from the University of Northwestern, St. Paul. And the title of his talk is Education in the 21st Century, Addressing the Intersection of Science and Faith on YouTube.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. This is my first time at an ASA meeting. My background is in avian ecology and conservation biology, and I typically go to the bird conferences. I'm starting to delve into a new area, as I'll be talking about today, and I thought I'd check out ASA, and it's a good opportunity to meet some other Christians who are involved in this sort of scholarship. So I hope you understand my title as a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I don't think this is the ideal vision of education, but I do think it is a vision of the reality from the perspective of my students. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we get going here. So as we understand theology as an attempt to make sense of our faith, right? Our faith is somewhat abstract, and we want it to all fit together in a nice cohesive picture. And I suspect I'm speaking to the choir when I say that if we are attempting to relate the world to God, and we ignore the world as science understands it, then I don't know if I would go as far as saying it fails, as did Dr. Brown, but I would say that it's limited. It doesn't tell the whole picture. Now, I think we have made great strides in this direction, as I'm sure many of you are aware. If we just walk by the bookshelf over in front of at the Science Center, there are so many brilliant scholars around the world who are addressing this, and I imagine many of us are quite comfortable talking about science and theology and the Bible in the same breath with each other and with our students, and going forth believing that they can inform each other to present a fuller picture of reality. However, as we heard last night, and as I imagine many of us probably have experienced in our own lives, that comfort with integrating science and theology and faith has not trickled down to the rest of the world. And as the statistic shared last night by Deb shows, many young Christians but still believe that their faith is not compatible with mainstream science, and we're probably aware many older Christians feel the same way. And so for whatever success we're having here, it's not trickling down into the pews on Sunday morning. And so It made me consider how would we access that audience? How do we reach that group of people to help them see a vision of science and faith collaborating together to provide a fuller picture of reality? And so that asks, where might someone go to find an answer to that question? Throughout the past centuries, we would have these resources available to us. We read books, we take courses, we talk to people that we trust, that are knowledgeable. Nowadays, we have podcasts in addition to our radio stations. We can get onto the web. But my students, and I would say I'm perhaps just as guilty of this, often go to YouTube first, because it can sometimes very effectively give you a quick and informed answer, sometimes a reliable one, that will save you the time of taking a 16-week course. And so YouTube has become, I think in many ways, a respected resource by both teachers and students. And we see evidence for this in that people like the National Science Foundation are providing grants for people to make videos to teach about science. And if you're not aware of them, there are fantastic resources on YouTube that do have very good information on them. I use them in my courses. I imagine many of them use them in yours. But as far as I have searched, none of them do a good job of addressing the theology that intersects with the science. And I have always kind of lamented that, sometimes actually kind of appreciated it. It provided an opportunity to show secular resources in my courses, And again, I teach at a Christian school, small liberal arts Christian school in St. Paul. And so then we can, with my students, dissect, you know, what are the assumptions they're bringing into this content? Where would we agree? Where would we disagree? So I think it does provide some good opportunity for critical thinking. But again, I always thought, wouldn't it be great if somebody did something along these lines that embraced a Christian worldview? And that's when I discovered the Bible Project in January of 2018, digging around actually for a course that I teach that discusses evolution, and just digging around looking for resources on various interpretations of Genesis. I came across one of the Bible Project's Genesis videos. And a couple of days later, I became enthralled with the success that they had in introducing a mainstream audience to biblical and theological studies and just engaging them fully in it. And you can read through the comments section on their YouTube channels or through their website and see that people are coming back to their Christian faith because they're gaining a new interest in the Bible that they've lost for years. And that is not only a source for just education about the Bible, but actually faith development. So I poured through it for a couple of days, and I said, this is what needs to happen. Someone needs to tackle this in the area of science and faith. They did a great job with biblical and theological studies. They're not really addressing science, not addressing topics of controversy very intentionally, probably wisely, so that they can expand their audience. And that's when I got my harebrained scheme to do just that. And so starting in January of last year, so for about a year and a half now, I've been working on the process of developing an organization called Disciple Science. And this is a new nonprofit organization that is modeled in much after the Bible Project. I actually spoke with them on the phone, and they were very encouraging and supportive. They shared with me their whole business model and startup process and gave me advice on how to proceed. And so we are going to do just that. We are going to introduce the world through YouTube and also a podcast to the intersection of science and Christian faith, and provide content at an adult level. We're kind of aiming at the, you know, college freshman level, so we're aiming at adults, not youth, but also not, you know, graduate level content. So hopefully accessible information that explores the intersection of science and Christian faith in a way that is encouraging and advocating for a healthy overlap in which we can see science as strengthening and encouraging our faith. So not just tolerating each other's existence, but actually thriving and growing together. So I am an ecologist and a biologist, and I knew that if I wanted this to have any success at all, I needed a theologian to join me, because as are many of you, I imagine, I'm a fantastic amateur theologian, but it doesn't take me long to get in way over my head. Fortunately, I have a good friend who I go to church with and who I go on early morning bike rides with on a regular basis. And we had even talked about sort of, you know, these topics just casually. And then once I got my harebrained scheme online, I said, Joel, are you interested in playing a role? And he is. And so he and I are going to be the tag team PhDs of a biologist and a theologian to provide some oomph behind what we post. As we all know, anybody can dump anything they want on YouTube, and there's all kinds of garbage on there. But what I think, at least some of the successful channels on social media do have the backing of professors, of scholars who have some reputation of success in this field. So what we hope to produce are short, primarily animated videos in the neighborhood of 4 to 7 minutes long, tackling all the topics related to this issue. We are going to start in the field of ecology and the environment and evolution, because those are the topics that I know best, and I'm very comfortable engaging with those. But I do have a vision, I hope, for the future of inviting other scholars to the table so that we can talk about the other fields in which there's great interest in things like human biology and the brain and medicine and cosmology and astronomy and geology. And so there are really limitless topics in the field of science that I think, if it's well done, people are, they want to know that their faith is compatible with the study of the natural world. So we're going to produce short animated videos. That's our primary output. We're also going to have a weekly podcast, a blog, and then hopefully study materials that will support things like small group studies and Sunday school groups that want to talk about how engaging with God's creation can enhance their understanding of God. So our emphasis is going to be more on what I call education and advocacy. We are not going to be an apologetics group. So I'm not here to prove the existence of God. I'm here to provide a framework for how science and theology can overlap and advocate for that. And so we are going to be encouraging of Christians not to fear science. And we're going to provide the background that I think is necessary to really understand these topics, to understand some of the perceived conflict between origins and Genesis and whatnot. So we're going to talk not only about science and theology and biblical studies, but also philosophy and history. Talk about, what are the misunderstandings behind the Copernican Revolution and the Scientific Revolution and the Protestant Reformation, and how that influences our views of scripture and of faith and of science. And there's a lot to cover, and so we really hope to touch on all those subjects. I won't dig into this in too much detail, but sometimes there's curiosity. We filed and will hopefully soon receive our full nonprofit status. We've raised funds to get started. Most of this funding goes to paying the animators. These videos are very time-consuming to produce, and so I'm paying them with a small grant that I got from the university, but an additional $15,000 that I've raised from donors. And beyond that, once we launch, we hope this will be a largely crowdfunded engagement. So people find value in it, they think that it's helping them understand the relationship between science and faith, and it's helping their faith grow, provide us with small donation. I'm fortunate to have a wonderful talent pool at my right around the corner, in that our university has a degree in digital animation. We obviously have, we have a radio station, and so we have a thriving department in media and communications, and an art department full of talented artists. And so when I offered this idea to some of the students in the arts, they were eager to play a role. And so I have a team now of four animators, a sort of live-action video producer, graphic design, helping me with this project. I'm writing scripts, getting them edited by Joel and my wife, who's a fantastic editor, and a number of other people. They're getting filtered to a number of people, and then we are storyboarding and coming up with, hopefully, visually engaging ways to tell the story of how science and faith can coexist. I want to share just a little bit about the message that I hope to convey. Much of this will be, again, speaking to the choir in this audience and familiar to you, but I think will be less familiar to some people that I hope will be interacting with these videos. And the first is that we can believe confidently, as St. Augustine said, that all truth is God's truth. If we have evidence to believe that it is true through the field of science, and we shouldn't be quick to embrace things, but once we have great confidence in understanding of something like an old earth, which I believe we have great evidence for, then we can believe that to be God's truth, and that correctly understood, these things will not conflict. We are going to talk regularly about avoiding the false dichotomies that are at the root of so many of the conflicts between science and faith. We are told that we have to choose between the Bible or science. We have to choose between God acting through miracles or God acting through natural processes. We have to choose to understand things through reason or through perhaps something a little bit more abstract, our imagination. We have to choose between science answering only causality, or perhaps it also can reveal purpose and meaning. We have to choose between valuing people or the environment, but we can't have both. Excuse me. We have to choose between focusing our hearts and minds on our future in heaven or our present on earth, but we can't think about both. I think those are all false dichotomies, and by helping people see that we've been sort of told a lie in those circumstances, just as we have are comfortable talking about Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit as beings that are simultaneously the same and independent, use that as a framework for helping people see that these are not things that we have to choose between. I want to emphasize to our audience that while science is something we can value and embrace as a source of innovation and understanding, it also shouldn't be our source of hope for the world. We shouldn't see science as the way out of our environmental problems or our health problems. We should see Jesus as our hope for the world. And through the Spirit, God can empower us to do good things. But I want to push back against the secular humanist approach that sees science as the answer to all that ails the world. And lastly, I want to help people to see science as the study of how God acts. We acknowledge, obviously, that God does work through miracles and things that we can't really understand, but that God is sustaining the world, and that God primarily acts and acts every day through intelligible processes. Because I see in my students and in society the understanding that if we have scientific explanations, then God is not involved. And if we can rid ourselves of that perspective, then we can start to see God involved in our life every day. Instead of thinking, well, I've never really experienced a miracle firsthand, does that mean I've never experienced God? And so by helping people see that God works to sustain his creation, that we can see him involved in our everyday lives. And lastly, a call to action, that if we see God works primarily through what he has created, if God primarily acts through secondary causes, that means God wants to act through us, and that he has put us here to work on his behalf. And we shouldn't sit around and wait for him to take care of each other and of his creation, but that he has asked us to do that in partly on his behalf as collaborators in dominion. So with that, I will just ask that you keep your eyes open for this. We hope to launch here in hopefully August or possibly September. And this has been, a year and a half process of getting these videos in production and completing our website and filing for nonprofit status and everything else. But we will have a website that's complete but not yet live. So if you go looking for it, you won't find it. But it will be available for you to peruse here within probably a few weeks. We have all the social media things. I don't have an Instagram up there yet because I don't know how to do Instagram, but I have a student that's helping me with that, so I think we'll have that as well. Don't know how to work that. And then I have my own personal contact information down there at the bottom, my Twitter account and my email address. If you have interest in this or curiosity or just want to talk about opportunities to collaborate or provide suggestions, we're very much open to that. So thank you for your time. If you have questions, I would be happy to answer them. Yeah, that's a good question. We hope to provide through both social networking and through study materials access to a community of people that are interested in these things. These things already exist for a lot of other organizations. through things like closed Facebook groups. You can say, all right, if you want to get on the Disciple Science Facebook group, you have to sort of fill out a short questionnaire to make sure you're not in there for malicious reasons. And then you've got a community of people to discuss these topics. Through the podcast, we will have an opportunity to send in questions and engage with these topics. And the podcast is primarily going to be time to expand on these short topics, right? Because 5 or 7 minute videos is not really enough time to talk about radiometric dating, but it gives you a good enough introduction, and then through the podcast we can give 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 hours of more detail and background and discussion. And so I think there is opportunity for false community, or I would say pseudo community. We're going to have face-to-face meetings immediately. Maybe that's something that could happen in the future, but I think there is opportunity for people to get together electronically to discuss these things and hopefully build community through that. Great question.
So my question was, in terms of in YouTube, the comment sections are usually kind of filled with vitriol and have lots of trolls in it. What's your kind of idea to deal with that?
It's a fantastic question and observation, and I affirm that. You're right, a lot of them are pretty nasty. Although, if you pay close attention, I think you would find that they're not always that way. And I think the tone of the video often sets the tone for the feedback. And at least in my example, I haven't studied this scientifically, but in my anecdotal observations, I'm kind of not built this way. I'm not going to get on there and say, this is the right view, and this is the wrong view, and this is why you're right and wrong, and be dogmatic about things. But I think if you take sort of a humble tone, then sometimes I think the feedback is fairly humble. And I've been surprised, at least with the Bible Project, their comment section is so affirming and encouraging. People are like, this is so fantastic, great job on the artwork, I really learned a lot from this, I can't wait to go open my Bible and read more depth. So I'm hopeful. I know this is going to be delicate because the topics we're addressing are going to be inherently more controversial than theirs, but I'm hopeful that by approaching it with a fairly humble heart and open spirit, that the feedback we'll get will be helpful and encouraging and not too nasty. But it's something I've very much thought about and am aware that could become a problem.
I'm just curious what kind of plans you all may have already with regards to partnering with denominations or church organizations, right now media or organizations like the ASA.
Yeah, I would be very much open to that. There was a discussion, at least, to partner with my own university at first, and I resisted that because I didn't want the university to dictate the content of our videos. My university is pretty open to these topics, but it's on the conservative side. And it's actually similar to Oral Roberts. I know there will be people that come from this very conservative view that will not be happy that I talk about evolutionary creation as a viable viewpoint for Christians. I am eager to talk about those opportunities to collaborate, both in providing expertise. Once things get over my head or into topics that are outside of my field, or for exposure and sharing, resources, I'm very much open to that. Right now, I'm following the Bible Project's model of just being independent, but I don't see any reason to say that I wouldn't do that in the future. Yeah.
That's a very fantastic presentation.
Thank you.
I want to ask this question, 2 questions. Mm-hmm. One is, what is your target audience like? Are you looking at the children, the youth, the teens, the adults? Then the second question is, how do you tend to attract traffic to the website?
Yeah, good questions. So I want to start first going at more of an adult audience, mostly because that's what I'm comfortable teaching. I've been brought in a couple times to talk to a middle school youth group about science and faith, And to be honest, I have a hard time knowing what's an appropriate level to talk to 13-year-olds about in this area. And I've had some parents say, I can't believe you said that, you know? And I don't think these are parents that were not comfortable with ideas that were outside of, you know, a younger few. So I think I'm just going to do an adult audience because that's what I'm comfortable with. But I see the tremendous opportunity here. And again, I don't really know what's going to come of this. It might fizzle and turn into nothing. I'm hopeful that it will be successful. I have a sabbatical coming up this year where I can focus on this, and this is my sabbatical project. But I can see if we have success a couple years down the road doing the same thing and sort of repurposing those videos for a younger audience. Because I think that's important that they have access to good resources, especially I know my university has a lot of homeschool students. And I've had a few of my own students, and actually one of the young men who's helping me with this project, who was homeschooled, he said, if you had really good resources, I know homeschool audiences would eat this up, because they are looking for good faith-based resources with which they can teach their students. I think my perspective is that most homeschool students are not looking for old earth views, but maybe that, hopefully that's changing. And then attracting an audience is going to be through posting on social media. I actually have a business student in marketing who I'm going to be partnering with in the fall, who is hopefully going to help us come up with some sort of marketing plan. I love collaborating with students. I know there sometimes it brings a lot of work, but I love their energy as well. And so they're going to help us with a marketing plan for how to get the word out. But I think some of these things are just going to have to grow a little organically. I know it will be slow to start, but I think if the quality of the content is good, then I trust the world of social media to make it known.
Just a quick one. How are you choosing your first few topics to cover?
Yeah, that's a good question. We are starting with very broad pictures. So our first video is just, what's the deal with the perception that there is a conflict between science and faith? And the angle that I'm taking is the idea of methodological naturalism that I think is mostly harmless, can sometimes turn into metaphysical naturalism if we believe that, you know, we can't talk about God in the answer to our scientific questions. That means maybe we can't talk about God in the answer of any of our questions. And so we're talking about that. We also have one of our first videos is talking about the idea of God's second book of Revelation and the very old idea that God has revealed himself to us through his creation, and that even though natural theology is a sort of a murky field, that we can discern some things about God through studying his creation, and that we can put theology and science together for a fuller picture of reality. And then, so we have a bunch of videos, 15 or 20 different topics lined up that are going through sort of the history of philosophy and theology around that. Although those are just our first two videos, and then we also have, we're going to start two new tracks of evolution and the environment. So one video introducing some of the roots of the conflict between evolution and some of the roots of the conflict over how what dominion looks like. And then, so I have about 80 topics right now that to cover evolution and the environment, and then the history and philosophy, and then it'll expand beyond that. So this is a years-long project, perhaps, if it goes where I hope it does.
I think we're at the end of our session, so let's go ahead and thank you.